Hey, fairy fam. So, in this episode, I really opened up about my spiritual mother, my mentor, my teacher, my friend, Sonia Suzette Williams, better known in the spiritual circle as Omishola. And she passed this month, literally days after the 1st of January. And her memorial and her birthday and everything was in this month, and I really wanted to share a little bit of my experience here. I talked about the importance still of the Egun and what the Egun represent for this year and the work we have to do for it, respecting our elders. And those people in the community who may have good contributions that we need to pay attention to. So, whilst this is the story of her and her impact on me, I hope that you can juxtapose it some way and use it in your life, to help amplify who you are spiritually and not only help yourself, but your community. Hey, fairy fam. It's your girl, the Afro Fairy Goddess. I really wanted to start at the beginning of January. I had all my ducks in a row. I had a pretty good intro plan, even though the new year for me is springtime, even though I live in the Caribbean, and spring isn't season here per se. I had everything planned, and then I got a call maybe the 3rd of January, when you are supposed to be at the starting block of the new year, and you got your big toe stuck in the gravel, kinetic energy ready to push you forward down the lane of this year. And a good friend of mine told me, "Are you sitting down?" I said, "I am." And that was when I was told that my spiritual mother, Omishola, better known to the Caribbean and the world in the arts and cultural industry, as Sonia Suzette Williams, had a stroke. And I felt my world shatter because I just saw her. I just saw her. And I had plans. We had plans, projects, and interviews for this podcast, and so many other things. But her life was very complicated and held many layers. And it was her time to go home. I guess I'm using this episode as a teaching tool, not for you guys, but for myself, because I am very much in mourning. The unexpectedness of it and the things where I'm at right now. And I'm hoping that this very, very vulnerable episode will shed some light or encouragement to those who
who have mentors who may not be blood related, but those in the community, not necessarily via initiation through any Orisha house or even a church, just somebody who has been a parental figure in your life, who carried such dignity and respect in the community. So, as I said, 2024, according to this calendar, did not start out the way I imagined or planned. I feel like I've been duped. I feel as though somebody is playing a really mean trick. Omishola has been a very vital force in my life. Sonia Suzette Williams has been a very vital part in my creative and ritual-esque life and how the two intersect. If you Google her name, maybe you will see some stuff about her. Maybe you will see many tributes on Instagram and Facebook, not only from here in Barbados, but as far as Africa, as far as United Kingdom, United States. She did a lot of work, and a lot of her work was very African and very African based. She is the one who told me that it was okay. That's actually her slogan. It'll be okay. It was okay to be African in my work and to be Afro-Caribbean in my work, and not to apologize for the nuances of that. What I've learned from her and what I can share on this podcast is not just the trees and the wind and the African spirituality of it all. She was also a theater practitioner, but her focus was on ritual theater. She taught us a lot about Ifa. Actually, my first time knowing about the Santeria faith, I guess more so Lukumi, came from her. And I was Yemaya in a performance piece, which was also co-directed by another late performance artist from Cuba, Leandro Soto, who came from Cuba and had a relationship with her, not romantically, but a professional and friendship relationship, where they taught us, the students, about Africa-centrisms, performance art, storytelling, embodiment, ancestral and Egun work, and why it is important to do these things within the work. And I cannot believe that my mentor is gone. Like, she transitioned this month. Her birthday was this month, and her funeral was only a week ago, maybe two at this point. It's going into 2 weeks, and it happened so fast. And there are many things that I've learned on this process. The people who were not my deepest friends have now become very deep because of her. That's what she used to do. She pulled people together. whether they were having the worst argument, she would find a way to make it work, and everything, as she would say, would be okay. That was the magic of her. Having an elder in the community that drives a force to us as young people and teach us without teaching us is one of the most valuable things I've ever learned. And it makes me wonder, did I do enough? She was the person who also spoke to me about Reiki specifically. I knew about the idea of what it was from a little girl, from having family members who've taught me certain things, but it never had a name. But she was a Reiki master. My God, she was a Reiki master. She was an author. And seeing her life and how it unfolded, she took women into her home who were being assaulted and took care of them until they could find their own space. She was always giving and she's always kind. And I guess there's a part of me that is so upset because she, of all the people that could have been taken away, Spirit said it's her that I'm going to take away from you. And I feel so angry. She never had a bad word to say about anyone and would go out of her way to make things right. And her biggest work was with the Egun, ancestral work. All of the work that she has ever done has been, yes, African focused, but it has been ancestral work and healing for Black women in her art and in her arts education. And doing it in a revolutionary way where it made people uncomfortable because it's not something that you talk about. In theater, you see people singing and dancing or talking about wars and all this other shit. But who puts a snake eating its own tail? Teaches us songs from Vodun, who incorporates hoodoo into her work. Make us wear African masks so that we can understand our heritage as Black students. And the resistance of institutions who did not understand what she was doing. She left an army of us, my God. Because even after graduation, we would still call her and ask for a book or ask for a review or ask her to edit our work because we're getting this job, we're doing this play, we're in this production, we're now the admin assistant of something or the other. And she just saw her students, now children, coming into their own. If it is that you have an elder in your community, not just blood related, but if you have somebody out there that is doing the work, soak up as much as you can if they are willing to teach you. Because when they are gone, that's it. That's it. All that is left is the work and the memories and the love that you would share. I've been listening to this voice, our voice note chats, I don't know, over and over. And you know what's the most ironic thing about all of this, or cynical thing, is that I had to be the artistic director for her funeral. As if that wasn't painful enough. And receiving pictures and stories and videos of things that I was not privy to, of how she helped people, how she fought for people behind the scenes. And it was overwhelming. The community's love for her was overwhelming me. She's not my mother. Not biological mother. And I could only imagine what her children felt. Having all of that love being showered on them. And it's just, death is crazy. I'm trying not to be mad at it. At the beginning of 2023, I lost a great friend suddenly as well. And now I am balancing their teachings as well. But Iya Omishola was, she was everything. She was everything. The things that have happened to me in this process of 1 month, just a month, I feel like I've leveled up, because even though she's not here physically, that I leveled up in this process. Because there were people who came to me who amplified what I already knew. And I'm trying not to get too personal, but we had a drum circle for her. The lady Taitu Hiron, who was also on this podcast. I'm now calling her my big sister because we've gotten so close. She's a medium, as you guys would have, if you're a regular listener and you've listened to that podcast. Her work is also Egun work. She's an Egun priestess. And at the drum circle, Sonia came and she talked to me through Taitu, of course, and said all the things that she needed to say. Not just to me, but to other students, to her children, to certain members of the community. And I will never forget that. I've learned how to commune ancestrally even more deeper than what I've even realized. The delicateness of life is a lot more fragile than I could ever imagine. And when you think that you understand it, another layer appears. When we speak to our elders, do we really recognize the people that they really are and the struggles that they carry on behalf of us? Do we recognize the things that they are doing or have done? Or is it too frivolous for us to understand in our own minds as we try to figure out shit? There are just so many people passing. I don't know about you, but for me,
Maybe it is that I'm getting older, but it can't be that because there are younger people going as well at the same rate. Suddenly, without warning. And I would say it's scary, but it's not scary. It's not scary because I don't think I'm afraid of death. I think I'm more afraid of life. Because death isn't about death. Death is about life and the impact that you are making. And wondering, as a student of such a great elder, if you are ever going to become as massive as they were, to carry on that legacy of work, to carry on the legacy of yourself, not just for them and the community, but for yourself. It's a lot of pressure when people are now turning to you instead of them and asking what to do next. Shit, I don't know. I'm right here with you. I don't know. And to be honest, I don't think the elders knew either. I think they just lived. As kind and as sweet as they could, without taking any shit from anybody. To be as revolutionary as they could be. And I could come on this podcast and tell you about all the things that you should be doing when a person transitions. The clothes to wear, the baths to take, the herbs to put on. And I know that a lot of people are very interested in that aspect. But what's the sense in giving you the tools if you are not having these conversations? Those are tools. The magic is in this conversation. Gotta be one buddy out here that does listen to this podcast, at least one. So I can't beat up myself if the listenership for this episode dwindles down and people are like, alright, well, then she get back with a new herb that I can use to hex somebody or a love spell, I'll check back in. It's important. It's really important. And it is important to know that you carry on the legacy of those who are gone. It's so important because that is how we as Black people survive. The cheat codes are in the lessons that our elders and our ancestors have left behind. That's how we win. That's how we win. Not survive, but thrive. It's so important that you understand this. Whilst Sonia Omishola Suzette Williams was more known for her art, she infused that art with something so magical. She infused her work and her life with such ferocity that nobody else can remove her. Nobody else can remove her from this space. And I'm so, so happy that I got to learn from her, that I got to laugh with her, a woman's laugh
Sonia's laugh could crack the sky and put thunder to shame. A real hard black woman belly laugh. A dancer who moved in lectures with the principal of the university, dancing to Steel Pan in the middle of the auditorium when everybody was like, what is she doing? This is a lecture theater. She didn't care about that. She cared about life and she lived herself as such. What I will tell you is that if I had to really listen and gently hug my grief into my bosom, acknowledge it and be aware of it, not to stop it, but really wipe my tears and look for the message in this very unfair circumstance, is that 2024, if you're going by this calendar, is all about the Egun. It is all about your ancestors. It is actually about your stalwarts. It is about your elders. Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. If you are still listening, this year is about your elders and your ancestors. There is a rapid, crazy domino effect happening with people transitioning, and it might not be that the people in the community are necessarily elders or what we consider elders, but there are people in the community with great ideas. There are people in the community with great ideas, masterful talents, and just a very full capacity for life and love and living that we overlook. And when we blink, they're gone. And we are not giving care to them. We're not recording their stories. We're not taking in their lessons. Even when they're gone, we don't research them. We don't put up plaques in their honor. We hardly rename our streets. And this is for black people, huh? Sorry for anybody else out there who might be white adjacent, but it is what it is. We have to write our stories because the colonizer has written a story for us already. So if you are an artist and you are a writer or a singer or a dancer or whatever, and I'm extremely passionate about it because I am a full-time artist. It's all I do. Yes, my spiritual work does happen, and I do have spiritual clients who I give readings to as well. But one is not above the other. They both have been intertwined, and that's because of Sonia. If you have your work, even if you have a desk job, there are ways for you to amplify that energy. There are ways, even if it is those people within your company who have been overshadowed and overlooked via ageism or whatever else that there is out there, isms and schisms that we have created as mortals and human beings on this planet.
But this year, we must acknowledge, we must acknowledge them. We must acknowledge them. This is no bigger than the podcast. This is no bigger than myself. This is no bigger than the communities and the people and the person that I'm reaching out to currently. It is so important. There's even a shift of people who are, I don't know, it's like we had COVID. We were all in our homes. There was nothing for us to do. Everybody started to connect online, and the spiritual community got really, really big. And I spoke about this too on the podcast. And everybody was trying on spirituality. Things were cool and popular. Having a crystal in your bosom was cool. You know, having moon baths, watching the different cycles of the moon was cool. Tarot cards and oracle cards and all the rest was cool. And then we got back outside, and I don't know, it felt like there was a plateau. And now I'm seeing a very heavy attack on those people who are Afrocentric. And even just talking about voodoo is always going to be hated. I don't know if that will change, but from where I'm standing, I don't see that changing anytime soon, because it is too black and it is too African, and people don't understand it or don't know it, and we hate and fear what we don't know. But things like voodoo and Ifa and Lokumi, Isheshe, Kumina, all the rest are always going to be bastardized and, you know, demonized. Because for what it is. And we are the ones who are connecting to nature. I have beginning to lose a lot of friends, guys. I mean, I had a lot to begin with. But there are a lot of people that I had to weed out last year that I thought we was on the same wavelength, and it still didn't work out. So, sorry. Nothing like a big drama, anything occurred, but I found, at least from myself, that my attention is becoming even more and more narrowed, more and more consistent, more and more focused into hitting a particular spot over and over and over unceasingly. And I find that when I turn my head sometimes left or right, there are people around me who are not doing the same. And that's my vibe right now. No malice or me being upset or angry or bad mind. And nothing like that happening. Just that we're falling apart. Or that relationship is falling. Oh yeah, it is no longer needed. The lesson was taught and we move on. But there is a reemergence of people. Some who are or were a part of the Afrocentric spiritual community, who have gone back to the traditional Abrahamic faiths, who are now chastising us, saying that talking to the dead is evil and worshiping our ancestors. We don't worship our ancestors. Like, come on. Like, if you were a part of this community and you was worshiping your ancestors, you were taught wrong, or you get the wrong information. You don't worship your ancestors. You acknowledge them so that their life and their essence can be venerated closer to the light and closer to God. Your ancestors are you. They're inside of your bones. If I take a pin or a knife or a piece of glass and I cut your skin, that blood that is coming out of your melanated skin, beloved, is a part of those who came before.
from your mother to grandmother to great grandmother, all the way back to the transatlantic slave trade, and even further back to the kings and queens of the continent of Africa. How dare we not speak on those people? How dare we not carry on their legacy? How dare we not work through traumatic conversations to heal the self? You know, when I went to the beach recently, oh God, I went to the beach last week. One of the many things I was doing as part of the rituals. There were so many rituals in the past 2 weeks. So many rituals happened. Some that I held, some that I assisted with, and some that I was just a part of. I know a lot more than I realize. But I went to the beach and I went for a swim to cleanse, to relax, to shed, to cry, to beat the ocean, to talk to the ocean. And the ocean at that time was very, very rough. Rougher than I've seen it in a long time. I didn't realize that there was a weather pattern above the Caribbean, which is very, very odd for this time as well, because if there is cold air around from you guys in North America, you shouldn't have storms. But apparently a storm was, and well, I can't say it is because I think it's dissipated now, but at the time it was there. I think I know why spiritually it was there, but that's another podcast message thing. And I went into the ocean and I remember it being like it didn't want me in it. It was pushing me and my friend out. And I hurt my foot. I'm here nursing a sprained toe, a sprained thumb. My knees are all dug out. Sounds a lot worse than it is, a lot more healed. I found scratches in places I didn't expect. But going to the ocean really puts a perspective for me, being scared of the ocean. And as a black person, I don't know if you've had this experience. Going close to the sea or a large body of water and being scared, not just because you may not be able to swim, but there is a fright there. And I think that that is spiritually connected to our dynamic memory, our dynamic memory of our ancestor, our ancestors, who may be scared of the ocean, who couldn't swim but jumped anyway because they refused to be enslaved. These are things, if we pay close attention to, come out in our bodies a lot. After a certain time, I don't go to the beach. I don't be out there for mermaids and all the rest, the water spirits that live out in the Caribbean. Do your research. They're real. Mami water, mermaids. Look up Haitian mermaids online. You will get some good information. But all these things are a part of us. They've been placed in stories. They've been placed in types of communication, songs and folklore, but they are a part of us. It's a mapping, it's a pattern, it's a way for us to connect. And to connect to them, the ancestors. There was a girl, oh my God, I don't even remember the business. This is a few years ago. I think she did body butters. But something had happened with the body butter. I think it was saying dealing with a customer and it blew up and it went sour. And then she had to rework, get any business back. Is it I don't remember the name. I really don't. But she said that she was trying to create this formula for the body butters. And she couldn't get it done right. Something was missing, or she couldn't figure out what the intention for the whole thing was. And she was just all over the place, just trying to make this secret ingredient. And whilst mixing one day, she heard her grandmother's voice, and it told her to put in this particular ingredient. And she tried it. She thought it was awesome. But would other people like it? It flew off the shelves. And months, weeks, years later, she became a multimillionaire. And these are things that occur. You might get a dream walk where you have a conversation with people. When I found out that my Ia was sick, we held a small vigil very close to her home, overlooking one of the cliffs at sunset. And a very small set of us gathered that evening. I guess I was a little bit more knowledgeable on how to open and close these things, so I was looked upon to do them. And like the day, or either it would have to be that night. No, it would have been the day before this, because I held on to hope. I had a dream. And the dream, she came to me and we had a conversation that was so surreal. I really thought it was real. And where we were, and in an art space, and me telling her, we're praying for you. You've had a stroke. And she looking at me like, okay. And it was almost as though now, in hindsight, I realized she had already made her decision, because at the time, she was in a coma. So we were like fingers crossed, praying hard and doing all these different things. And then, you know, weeks before, her mother had passed as well. So a lot of stuff was going on. And we were just working. We worked to get her to come back. But she didn't want to. And I had to release her and let her go. I had to let her go. Because after that evening of speaking with my friends and telling them the dream, the following morning, it was announced that she had gone. And I was so upset. I didn't cry at first, but I was upset. Like, why you left me with all this work to do? With all these people asking me questions of what's next. Like, people were calling immediately saying, Obi Godua 9 nights. And 9 nights, for those who don't know, for 9 nights, we hold space for the spirit that has transitioned. And you do ritual. You pray, you sing, you beseech with the community. And hold space until they leave this earthly realm. It's mostly done in Jamaica now. It's not really done here in Barbados, although there are some spiritual groups here who may do it, who may have a better understanding and do that for the deceased or the departed. You may do a drum circle, which I did. Very, very exhausting, because me and a few others were actually the circle, and then the people of the community who were not there, like in the center of it all, was just really more or less spectating. I guess they just wanted to be a part of that vibration. That was so beautiful. It was on the edge of the water, and we gave all of the offerings to Yemaya. One of my colleagues is actually a Yemaya priestess, priestess of Yemaya, so she was able to guide me on certain things that needed to be done. And then after we did what we needed to do for Iya, we went into the ocean at sunset, all white. I was so cold, and all the roses and different spiritual trees that we would have picked and people brought, we took them to the ocean and thanked Yemaya for being there with us and thanking her for giving space for the ashes for when they do come, because she will be cremated, and all of these different things. And seeing her children, who are to me superheroes, because everybody was bawling. People were going through their own spiritual healing. I'll leave it as that at the time. We might get taken over and stuff like that. But they were just there in the circle, just kind of supporting us in the same way how their mother taught them to be. It was so miraculous to see them. Very, very young adults. watching them coming to rehearsal with her. Them sucking them finger. Watching me trying to remember my lines in class. And she teaching. And her children just running up and down the corridors. I'll always remember that. And now me, or rather us girls, being unofficial godparents to these children. Man, I hope that you guys are open, really, really open this year to listening to the signs, whatever signs those are. Mostly the signs of love and kindness. The signs of healing, the signs of communion, signs of guardianship. Guardianship meaning whether those are your angels or your spirit guides or even your grandmother or your mom or your dad or whoever it is that you are connected to. I really hope you listen to them and to know not to feel overwhelmed with getting the right things for them. It's nice to have, but if you don't have it or you don't have access to it, not to feel bad, because they'll be there anyway. They're literally in your marrow of your bones. I think where I am right now is that becoming a leader after a mentor dies is complicated. I know it's not complicated, but it feels complicated to me because all of us, not just me, have been given pieces of her to amplify our own talents. And all of us who have studied under her in various ways have been amplified by her even before her passing. She's the one who you call and ask for the book. Do you know where I can find? Oh, I have it here. Her library would put anybody online to shame. She had a room of books. And then it would spill out into her living room and in her kitchen and in her bed. Just books. She could own a store. Literally own a store. I envy her book collection. All African, Afrocentric. And I feel like, did I learn everything? that I was supposed to learn? Do I have it together? Am I going to say the right thing? Am I going to make the right decisions? I know she was proud of me. She said so. But yet still there's an inkling of, will you be proud of me after? Just a lot of questions. The only answer I have for that question is to listen to your heart. If you are faced with that decision of overwhelm, knowing that you will make the right choice. And sometimes you will just make a right choice, not the right choice, and that's okay too. And just living with their memory. Sometimes on the darkest days. And to have a sea bath wherever you can. Or some form of self-love moment. A literal bathroom bath with a bathtub, if you got one. Or treating yourself to a spa day. Or something sweet. Having a glass of wine on an evening after work and pouring a glass for your friend. Or a cup of tea. And just placing it there as a symbol for them. Don't drink it though. If you get it to them, don't drink it. But, you know, all these little things. Respecting the Egun. Wherever they are. And knowing that their memory is still within us. Nothing needs to be complicated. It's actually more powerful when it's simple. So I guess this is my time, because I can't think of anything else to talk about via this experience. Like I said, I know people go on, no, so what is Carrie and what type of baths you should take, and like what songs or what psalms should you sing, and how do you divine, and like there's a lot that I could go into. But I really do feel that this conversation is more important. Some people might not think it is, but I believe it is. Okay. I'm gonna wrap up. If you've been following me on Patreon, whether it is as just a follower free or somebody who has paid, I thank you. If you're following, it means that I must be telling you something important or something good that it makes you want to be a part. This social media thing is not for me. Patreon is where you're going to find me. My website is where you can find me also. And my email, theafrofairygoddesspodcast@gmail.com, is where you can reach out to me as well. That's where I'm at. Sometimes YouTube, but not as consistently as the aforementioned. All under the same name, The Afro Fairy Goddess. So guys, I will see you or hear you or speak to you very soon in the next episode. February is my birth month. I intend to have a really great time, even if it is just to wake up and open my eyes and see a sunrise. Because this is what life is. I can leave you one quote. I know you're going, but black people is always say goodbye like 12 times before they leave. But for true, one of my favorite quotes
that I've held very deeply onto. I don't know if anybody in here watched WandaVision. That's really a Marvel comic. I'm a geek, so I knew about these characters before they came to the big screen. But check out WandaVision, where the story, or the nucleus of his story, is really about this woman going through life after her husband has passed. And he tells her this line in it: "What is grief but love persisting? But what is grief but love persisting?" I think that's what it is. Yeah, what is grief but love persisting? I'll leave you with that. I am the Afro Fairy Goddess, reminding you to always believe in your magic. See you next episode.
Well, that's our show for this week. If you've listened all the way through and want to connect, join some workshops, or even be on the show, check me on Twitter and Patreon under the handle The Afro Fairy Goddess. You can check out the website also at theafrofairygoddess.com, or if you want to drop me a line, email me directly at theafrofairygoddesspodcast@gmail.com. I am the Afro Fairy Goddess, and as always, don't forget to believe in your magic.